I got the job. Mr. Dean was especially pleased by my Red Cross life-saving certificate obtained at the YMCA the summer I turned 16. That was what I called my boredom summer. In the years since, I've discovered there's a lot to be said for boredom. I told Mr. Dean when my finals ended, and promised him that I'd be at Joyland 2 days later, ready for team assignment and training. We shook hands, and he welcomed me aboard. I had a moment when I wondered if he was going to encourage me to do the happy hound bark with him or something equivalent, but he just wished me a good day and walked out of the office with me, a little man with sharp eyes and a lithe stride. Standing on the little cement block porch of the employment office, listening to the pound of the surf and smelling the damp salt air, I felt excited all over again and hungry for summer to begin. "You're in the amusement business now, young Mr. Jones," my new boss said. "Not the carny business, not exactly, not the way we run things today, but not so far removed from it either. Do you know what that means, to be in the amusement business?" "No, sir, not exactly." His eyes were solemn, but there was a ghost of a grin on his mouth. "It means the rubes have to leave with smiles on their faces. And by the way, if I ever hear you call the customers rubes, you're going to be out the door so fast you won't know what hit you." I can say it because I've been in the amusement business since I was old enough to shave. They're rubes, no different from the redneck Okies and Arkies that rubberneck their way through every carny I worked for after World War II. The people who come to Joyland may wear better clothes and drive Fords and Volkswagen microbuses instead of farm-all pickups, but the place turns them into rubes with their mouths hung open. If it doesn't, it's not doing its job. But to you, they're the conies. When they hear it, they think Coney Island. We know better. They're rabbits, Mr. Jones. Nice, plump, fun-loving rabbits hopping from ride to ride and shy to shy instead of from hole to hole. He dropped me a wink and gave my shoulder a squeeze. The conies have to leave happy or this place dries up and blows away. I've seen it happen, and when it does, it happens fast. It's an amusement park, young Mr. Jones, so pet the conies and give their ears only the gentlest of tugs. In a word, amuse them. Okay, I said, although I didn't know how much customer amusement I'd be providing by polishing the devil wagons, Joyland's version of Dodge'em cars, or running a street sweeper down Hound Dog Way after the gates closed. And don't you dare leave me in the lurch. Be here on the agreed-upon date and 5 minutes before the agreed-upon time. Okay. There are two important showbiz rules, kiddo. Always know where your wallet is, and show up.
He must have known there'd be a mess, because he was wearing two shirts, and he put on a pair of yellow work gloves. They found the top shirt, the one that would have caught most of the blood, about 100 yards further along from the body. The gloves a little further along still. I could see it. First the body, still warm and pulsing, then the shirt, then the gloves. The killer, meanwhile, sits tight and finishes the ride. Mrs. Shoplaw was right. It was creepy. When the ride ended, the son of a bee just got out and walked away. He mopped up the car. That shirt they found was sopping, but he didn't quite get all the blood. One of the helpers spotted some on the seat before the next ride started and cleaned it up. Didn't think twice about it either. Blood on amusement park rides isn't unusual. Mostly it's some kid who gets overexcited and has a nose gusher. You'll find out for yourself. Just make sure you wear your own gloves when you do the cleanup in case of diseases. They have them at all the first aid stations, and there are first aid stations all over the park. Nobody noticed that he had got off the ride without his date? Nope. This was mid-July, the very height of the season, and the place was a swarming madhouse. They didn't find the body until 1 o'clock the next morning, long after the park was closed and the horror house work lights were turned on. For the graveyard shift, you know. You'll get a chance to experience that. All the happy helper crews get cleanup duty 1 week a month, and you want to catch up on your sleep ahead of time, because that swing shift's a bugger. People rode past her until the park closed and didn't see her. If they did, they thought it was just part of the show, but probably the body went unnoticed. Remember, Horror House is a dark ride, the only one in Joyland as it happens. Other parks have more. A dark ride. That struck a shivery chord. But it wasn't strong enough to keep me from finishing my soup. What about a description of them? Maybe from whoever served them at the restaurant? They had better than that. They had pictures. You want to believe the police made sure they got on TV and printed in the newspapers. How did that happen? The Hollywood girls, Mrs. Shoplaw said. There are always half a dozen work in the park when it's going full blast. There's never been anything close to a cooch joint at Joyland, but old man Easterbrook didn't spend all these years in rolling carnies for nothing. He knows people like a little dash of sex appeal to go with the rides and the corn dogs. There's one Hollywood girl on each helper team. You'll get yours. And you and the rest of the guys on your team will be expected to keep your big brotherly eye out in case anyone bothers her. They run around in these short green dresses and green high heels and cutie pie green hats that always make me think of Robin Hood and his merry men. Only they're the merry chicks. They tote speed graphic cameras like the kind you see in old movies, and they take pictures of the rubes. She paused. Although I'd advise you against calling the customers out yourself. Already been warned by Mr. Dean, I said. Figures. Anyhow, the Hollywood girls are told to concentrate on family groups and dating couples who look over 21. Kids younger than that usually aren't interested in souvenir photos. They'd rather spend their money on food and arcade games. So the deal is, the girls snap first, then approach. She did a breathy little Marilyn Monroe voice.
Hello. Welcome to Joyland. I'm Karen. If you'd like a copy of the picture I just took, give me your name and check at the Hollywood photo booth in Hound Dog Way as you exit the park.
Like that. One of them took a picture of Linda Gray and her boyfriend at the Annie Oakley Shooting Gallery, but when she approached, the guy gave her the brush off. A hard brush off. She told the cops later that he looked like he would have taken her camera and broken it if he thought he could get away with it. Said his eyes gave her chills. Hard and gray, she said. Mrs. Shoplaw smiled and shrugged. Only it turned out he was wearing sunglasses. You know how some girls like to dramatize. As a matter of fact, I did. Wendy's friend Renee could turn a routine trip to the dentist into a horror movie scenario. That was the best picture, but not the only one. The cops went through all the Hollywood girl snaps from that day and found the gray girl and her friend in the background of at least four others. In the best of those, they're standing in line for the Whirly Cups, and he's got his hand on her keister. Pretty chummy for someone none of her family or friends had ever seen before.